Hello, everyone, and welcome to Edge Talk Radio. My name is Angela Zabel, that's me, and today we are here with Maria Chico, and she is a PhD. She is an author and mentor from Massachusetts, and we're going to be talking about the power of joy. And who am I? I am Angela Zabel. I have connected with spirit my entire life, working with the team in the non-physical, sharing messages from a multitude of realms with people. And I am a teacher, coach, medium, radio show host, writer, retreat host, mediumship, and also online and private group sessions. So I also have classes. I also have the Amplified Universe membership. And this is all about growing who we are, growing our connection to us, all that's around us, and our role in the world we live in. You can find out more about me on angelazabel.com, and I'm pretty much on all the social media aspects. I work with people around the world. And we are here today with Edge Magazine. And Edge Magazine is the leading events and media resource dedicated to all aspects of holistic living, health, wellness, and the mysteries beyond, sharing information, wisdom, resources, committed to promoting businesses, organizations, and individuals who support our collective journey to wholeness and balance. And today, if you haven't checked it out, Edge Magazine, you can sign up for their newsletter. You can also go online and you can have the magazine shipped direct to your door. And if you're a business out there and want to promote this magazine at your business, you can become a drop spot. So make sure to go on their website, and their website is edgemagazine.net. And they are currently in 30 states and Canada. They are doing 17,000 magazines per printing, and they also have their online presence, which is constantly changing. So make sure to check them out. And today we are here with Maria. Maria is a PhD. She is an award-winning educator, mentor, author, and entrepreneur. She has uniquely combines the sciences, metaphysics, and the arts to change, to inspire and change your aligned with your higher purpose and joy. She is a former university professor turned entrepreneur. As an accomplished author, her work has been published in 50 plus journals, including Advances in Complementary and Alternative Medicine and Exploring Holistics. She has made appearances on BizTalk Radio, MindBody Radio, and Women Inspired TV. Maria is the author of two books that inspire joyful and creative living, My Brilliant Money Book and From Russia to Joy. She lives in Boston with her partner and son. Make sure to go on Maria's website because she has Maria's Chico's Candy for Your Soul newsletter, and you can check out her website at it's mariachico.love, and she's also on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and her books are on Amazon. I am going to go and spell her name because it is a little bit different. It's MARIYASCHICO. Love. You're listening, make sure to check out the links that are all down below. So, Maria, I am so happy to have you here. Thank you for being here. And I was just wondering, how did you go from being a researcher and university professor to bringing in the spirituality and teaching joy and empowerment to others? I know that's a big question, so we can start high level and we'll work our way down. Thank you so much for being here, Maria.
It is such a pleasure, and I have to start by saying that I love your energy. I am just sitting here on the back, and I'm like, oh my God, please keep talking.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. It has been so much. I've got to say, when I started today, I'm like, I am going to have so much fun. There's so many great people I'm going to see today, and you're one of them. So I can't wait.
Well, to answer your question, I feel I think I can be transparent because I feel part of the choice was mine, and part of the choice was also kind of the universal choice for me to have this path. And when I came to academia, I think I was still coming from this place of what do I have to do in life? How do I need to earn my living and how I need to show up in the world? And some of it was from a lot of conditioning that I received being a child and living and being raised in Russia. My family values education tremendously, but I think by education, they mostly mean the mind education. So it's almost this narrow definition of who a human being is, just very mental and kind of neglecting the metaphysical and spiritual and heart and energy and body. And so the transition to me now feels natural, but it felt nothing but natural at the time because I came here when I was 21, and then I spent a lot of time pursuing my feeling, to be quite honest, is that I repeated some patterns that I've had in the past, which is I was told by doing all these different studies is that I was very much in service to the world. I have a very, very developed mind that I have worked on developing for many lifetimes. And so it was very natural and practical for me to continue the familiar path. And so I remember meeting my teacher who passed away last year, and she's at the metaphysics school where I attended. So she told me that for me to be successful in this lifetime, I need to develop other qualities. I need to develop creativity and intuition and joy and develop those things. And because otherwise, I'm just going on the familiar path, and that's not how we evolve as humans. And so it was very, very challenging to make that choice. I think the universe also helped me to make that choice by creating problems.
The universe is really good with that.
So I feel it was a choice and no choice at the same time because I was in academia and I was very successful. I love teaching. I'm very fortunate to have had some incredible students, and there are some things that I hated, to be quite frank. And so I
So, what
think
were the things you didn't like about teaching?
not the teaching aspect. The teaching I absolutely loved, but I think kind of the human connection and politics and toxic environment and also extreme overwork and lack of appreciation of contributions. So that was challenging for me. And also I could not really be myself because I think at that point I already was on my spiritual journey. I started, meditation and channeling and mediumship, and I started learning about metaphysics and travel. And so there was a little bit of conflict. I don't think it needs to be, but in that kind of environment it was. I don't think it needs to be. And the way I see the future of the world and education, I think that all aspects of ourselves need to be welcomed. But I think at that point I was quite naive, and I could not fully stand for myself, stand up for myself. And so I made a choice to leave, and I don't regret that choice because I am happy. But the transition out of it was still a journey on its own. Starting
Love
my own
that.
business, and yes.
One of the things I really love what you said is how you said currently it's switching, but especially a few years back, you really had to keep everything separate. It was like who you are at work, at your job, at your career, and who you are as a person, as this beaming soul that just wants to burst out and create and do all these different things. There's very much a disconnect and has been for a long time. But now the disconnect is starting to be joined, which I think is absolutely amazing. And I'm looking forward to everything going forward because I know, I feel everything is moving together, moving in that direction. And it really takes people who have been ahead of the curve, which is you, ahead of the curve to make those difficult decisions of switching where you're at to find something more aligned with yourself. And as you did that, I love the perspective you took, how some of the things felt like it was your journey, your path, and other things felt like it was kind of predestined in a way of moving your way through it. And you talked about conditioning from your family, and how did the conditioning there? So I've got a team on the other side, for those of you who don't know, and they're backing me up and they're saying, how did it feel? What was the point where you decided I needed to leave the conditioning back where it was and move beyond it? What was the catalyst that made you decide I can't listen to the conditioning the whole time anymore?
Wow. That is a great question. I'm wondering if there was one point where I feel there were many points when, or at least several points where I could definitely see that I was living not my own life, but someone else's life. You know, kind of a life that I was told that I must live. I think the first point was when I was practicing Vipassana, and that was, I no longer practice Vipassana, but at the time I did. It's a silent retreat practice, and you go for 10 days and you meditate every day. And I think one of the experiences that I've had there at the time was that realization that I'm energy, that I am energetic vibration, and that my thoughts are energy, my feelings are energy, and that I am not just a passive taker of life, but I actually am a co-creator. And so if I think specific thoughts, then I have a particular vibration. Like if I experience anger, or if I have a different kind of thought, then I feel more uplifted and hopeful. And I think that was just a huge light bulb that went off for me at that point. And some of the power came back to me versus just being kind of a walking passive human who is walking and around and just experiences life with no participation or no influence. And then little by little, because I've had so much training and experiences and courses and unconditioning experiences, but I think another pivotal point was when I got into my metaphysics university like 8 or 9 years ago. And everything that I thought before was black was white. Everything that was green was yellow. And so it was like a big, big shift in my head of what is right, what is wrong, what is right, what is left, what is up, what is down. It's I feel it's been a huge, huge transformational experience at that point.
I love what you just said, though, because as you go through this process of really discovering who you are, who this person is, because so many of us, I was there with you. I was just felt like I was just going through life doing what everyone expected. And then you start questioning and you start looking further, and you're like, what is right? Well, everything you believed, everything you were taught, you're questioning everything and finding out that a lot of that does not serve you. And it's really, I love the fact, and they're excited behind me because they're saying this is the time to question everything you've been taught and everything you believe, even in the moment now. You're going to be questioning those beliefs as you continue to grow. And I think that's something, I don't know if people talk about that a lot, but it's like, you're not even close to the same person you are or were. But as you started on that journey of really questioning, and they want me to back up a little bit and say that when you started questioning everything and you were like, you know, is this green? Is this yellow? How does that work? How did that make you feel inside? Was it like, oh, this is exciting? Or was it like almost taken off balance? How did that make you feel?
To be quite honest, I felt that I am going insane. And because I remember that I was a very confident person, and I think this confidence was coming from The education I had, the status I held, the achievements I've gathered over the years, and just having a very high social status. And then there was a point where I was questioning, like, my sexuality. Am I lesbian? Am I straight? Am I, like, do I want to be fat? Do I want to be thin? Do I want to live in this country or that country? Do I want to shave my head or have my hair long? Like, I think it was every single thing in my life that I was questioning and trying to figure out. And I think it also felt at the time like the ground was no longer under my feet. And I was definitely very far from confident. I was feeling extremely insecure. But I am realizing now that how can I describe the word for that energy? I mean, it's a transformation. It's a transformation, and nobody really used to talk about it at the time. Now you're talking about it on your radio show, and I remember going to therapist, like a mainstream therapist, and I saw that lady for like maybe 3 or 4 times. And I was educating her about what I was going through, and I realized like she cannot help me. She doesn't know any freaking thing I'm talking about. And so
I love that though, because this is a time where people really need to know you're questioning so much about who you are that you go through everything, you go through every gamut, and there's nothing wrong with that. And to do different things, to really question everything, and to know, and they're just saying, that's a time when you resonate with the people you're going to resonate with, and other ones when you go to see them. Some of the biggest aha moments for people is going to see people you're expecting to get answers from, and knowing I've already got the answers within me. I already have them right here, and I just need to trust myself. And sometimes we need those aha moments to show ourselves we are moving on, and we're moving into who we really are in those moments. And I think it's so great for people to hear some of that process and to know you're not crazy. It's just a whole rebuilding of yourself. They're showing me in my head. It's almost like taking Legos, and you have all the Legos, and they make this, you get a Lego kit, and it comes with all the instructions, and it makes just this kit. But then opening up your eyes and going, what else can I make with what I've been given? And they're saying that's a lot of what so many of us are going through, have been through, and are going to continue to go through as we go forward. And it can be an exciting time, a scary time, a crazy time, but stepping into who you are, I think is a beautiful time. And there, I just keep hearing from them how they are so impressed with you, because you examined so many things that other people, as soon as that thought would have came into their head, they would have squashed it down, talking about different sexuality and who you are and shaving your head, not shaving your head, doing all this. Other people would have squashed that down and said, oh my God, I am crazy. And you examined it and you moved through it. And I just hear from them, I just hear such grace. You had such grace going through it. And they are very impressed and saying how much that can help so many others with your story and what you've done. And as you've done that, you went through this period of just crazy, everything, like, I don't even know what's up anymore. How did you start coming into, and what was it like when you started coming into that feeling of, instead of being crazy, some of the joy that comes with it? How did that happen, and how did that transform as you went forward?
Well, I think I switched my perspective to me being crazy to the world being crazy.
Like that one. I love that.
Like, I'm actually saying it's the world who is completely nuts.
That's a great perspective, actually.
And I think it began with, I mean, again, all of this process was, as we're just saying and naming now in a minute, I feel they're actually processes rather than events. And
Yes.
so I feel that for me, coming back to more self-confidence, and I'm still on this journey, came from, I mean, first, I have spoken with so many people. I started questioning myself, for example, people who say, you will be happy if you do this. And I actually looked at those people who say, you will be happy if you do this, and they were miserable.
Good point.
And then I was looking at people. I was just, because I traveled the world, I backpacked a lot, and I talked to all kinds of hundreds of people, and I wanted to gather different perspectives, their life experiences, see if they're happy or not, how they made their choices. So I was gathering data at the time and doing qualitative interviews. And I think what I started realizing is that everyone has a different path, and there is no one answer that fits all, and that you really have to sit with yourself and ask yourself the questions of what would make me happy? What is unique to me? What do I want to experience? And so I think from the place of finding, I mean, something that you've mentioned before as well, is finding answers outside of myself, I started trusting myself more. And I think confidence came from embracing myself, loving myself, learning to love myself, and realizing that there is no right way. It's just what makes me happy and how do I want to live my life, how I want to create my life. And joy came from, well, sometimes it just comes now from nothing, from just presence, from just being, from having a cup of matcha or walking outside and just being in the now. And then sometimes joy comes now from kind of doing the service work or following my path, following what feels aligned with my heart, and like seeing results in the people that I work, seeing results in the clients. And it doesn't mean that I'm always joyful, because there are hard moments, and there are, you know, especially with having a toddler.
Hard.
So I feel there are hard moments, like in business or in life, or just even in relationship with my family, that are very mainstream still. And so I find myself that there are hard moments, but there is no edge, there is no anger anymore about that.
I think that's something so important. And I've got to say, on my journey, I've also realized that a lot of things that used to make me very angry don't affect me anymore. Are there times I still get angry? Oh, absolutely. I am human. I'll put that right out there. I am human. I am still working through all of it. But what used to bother me doesn't bother me anymore. And I'm hearing that from you, the things that would have just set you on a tailspin don't even have the effect anymore. And that's something I think for people to realize, this journey is so much more than just understanding who you are. It's embracing who you are. And I love how you said you're unique. And after all the different interviews, all the people you did, how you discovered you had to be true to yourself, what was best for you, because everyone is unique and different. And I just keep hearing from them on the other side. They're so happy for people to hear that more and more, because don't try to be the mainstream. Don't try to fit into the box everybody's put for you, and to step into what makes you happy and bringing you joy. And as you started doing that, and they want me to back up, and they said what you talked about, having the moments where you don't even know what you're happy about, but you're just happy. That's what people are going for. That's the true connection to yourself and all that's on the other side. And for people to, they're saying, for people not to be surprised if all of a sudden, for absolutely no reason, you're almost overwhelmed with joy and happiness that you start crying because you're connecting so deeply to the other side. And they're saying, for you, you have done so much of that, and they are so grateful for your presence in their presence.
That's
And
beautiful.
They also want to, they're saying, they're asking, you had talked about your family, how they're still more mainstream and really don't align with what you're doing. How do you find joy when you're connecting with them, communicating with them? And do you just not bring up who you are, or do you bring it up, put it out there, and then just let it be and talk about your experiences and don't worry about what happens? How do you handle that?
Wow, what a question. So I feel it's been a little bit of the different stages for me in the relationship with my family, because I think initially I was hoping they can help me figure things out, but they were not capable. And I realized that they cannot connect to my experience because they've never had it, or they have never gone through it. They have a lot of fear. Just a lot of fear in their consciousness, a lot of fear in their system and their body. I can feel that. So I think I have, and I know that they love me also in the way that they can love me. I think the kind of the process with my family is complex, because sometimes I had to stand up for myself and actually stand up for what was unacceptable, because I had very abusive childhood in the context of my father, not with my mom, but with my father. And I had to stand up for myself, whether I'm spiritual or not. Some things were not acceptable. And I think this inner connection and confidence in spirit and in myself gave me strength to speak up. And then another thing is that my dad has a lot of trouble accepting spirituality because of various reasons. So I feel that he doesn't accept it, and I had to accept that he does not accept it. So I had to step back and kind of let go of this idea that I want to change him, I want him to be different. And I think it has taken many years, but once I was able to just let him be himself rather than trying to do it for the sake of me feeling good, then our relationships began to improve, because I stopped doing to him what he was doing to me. He was molding me in the box. And I'm like, I'm not going to mold him in the box. I'm going to just let him be the way he is. And interestingly, the last year, he started being curious about personal development. Now he tells me that, oh, it is so important to be in the present moment. You have to read this book. At some point I fall in my chair, you know, but it took 15 years or like a decade to get to this point. And so I just kind of listen and laugh about it, and I'm like, okay, he's on his journey, and it's just he's going at his own pace. And I think with my mom, it's she just loves me. She loves me unconditionally. And I don't push for, like, I tell her when our grandfather passed, I wanted to relate to her some messages from our grandfather. And she took it in. She did not ask any further questions, but she kind of took it in. So I think I show up as myself when I feel an opportunity presents myself, and at other times I just let it go.
I love that. And the one thing, and they're saying one of the things for you, you've learned that you have to let the people be who they are and accept the love for whatever they're capable of doing. And by releasing yourself from trying to change somebody, you actually open up the possibilities for them to step into their own change. And so they're saying it's so encouraging for people to know You're not there to change them. You're only offering the space of, look, I've changed. I hope you can do the same. I offer you that same space to change without any repercussions, without any expectations. And they're saying, and that's where the magic happens. That's where the shift changes, because they're tapping into what you have already done. And they're laughing. They're also saying, it doesn't mean it happens overnight. Just as you said, it might be 15 years, it might be 20 years. You never know. You might not even be in this lifetime. But they have the opportunity to change. You're allowing them and releasing yourself from wanting to change them brings happiness into your life. And that's it's something for you that you've done. And I think it's really important for people to realize it doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen, I do it once and I'm good and everything is perfect after that. That's not how life works. Would be great, but not quite how life works. And as you started doing that, are you we're talking about the power of joy. As you've stepped into more of who you are and embracing who you are, did it automatically start the creativity, starting to think differently, starting to break yourself out of that box as you did that? And what was that process? Was it, I'm feeling joy and I'm gonna start creating, or was it started automatically flowing in? Did you push yourself to create? I guess is the question is, did you have to push yourself to create? Or was there more of a you step into it, but more starts flowing? How did that work for you?
I feel there was still an element of discipline and intentionality when it came to creativity and changing the patterns. And I find it's still true now that there is a lot of discipline and commitment that comes on a daily basis. So it's not like a flow, like, oh, let's just hang out and see what happens. I find that, like, for example, I started playing at the time, like a few years ago, I started playing the piano again, and I had musical education, but I kind of let it go because I was taught to do things in a specific way. And so I went through a period of, I guess, rebelliousness, which I haven't had while being an adolescent. And I'm like, okay, let me try to play the piano with my feet. Let me try to play the piano with my butt. Let me backwards. Like, let me just start breaking this notion of how it must be. And then, because I've never written a song, you know, it was more like, okay, this is the right way. You play this music, and that's how you do it. And then I hired a voice teacher, and then we were just singing different songs. And I told her, hey, I think I want to write music. I want to try it. And she said, of course you can do it. I'm like, what do you mean, of course you can do it? You mean like everybody can do it? She's like, of course you can do it. So she gave me some tips about, you know, how to let the lyrics out. And then after I practiced, I wrote down like 12 or 13 songs, or it was 4 years ago now. And so it was very cathartic. But I feel that this process has been on so many different levels, like with painting. Again, I thought that in order to paint, you have to know how to draw an apple, and then you need to know how to draw a pencil. It has to be very realistic and precise, and this is what painting is. And so I had to then go into more of an intuitive painting and just allow myself to experience what it feels like in my nervous system, in my body, in my to be in the present moment and not knowing what I'm fully creating and kind of letting things flow. But I feel it also has been a practice for me. It's not just, oh, it happened, because I feel so many things. If for me, if I were for 30 years following one train of behavior or thoughts, I had to put effort to start breaking that train of thoughts and behavior, and with that comes discipline and consistency.
I love that. And I love the aspect where you said it was intention, putting your intentionality forward, because intention, and so my team is kind of backing me up. They're like, "I'd like us to talk about intention. Does it have to be on a set ritual schedule? Does it have to be a set, like a certain prayer, a certain thing? Does it have to be a certain thing, or is intention, how do you feel intention? Is it just your own, however you want to do it, or is it has set, rigid aspects to it?"
They are kicking my butt a little bit. Good. Good.
Yes, they are.
It.
I think they're trying to push you out of your box a little further.
Yes, good. I think that for me, it's been like I almost see right now in this conversation color, you know, of the intensity that represents intensity. Sometimes the intention can be very light, and sometimes it can be more. Sometimes I can slide into Russian military discipline. So,
I would have never thought that.
but I think intention for me in general, in the best case scenario, means that I set an intention and I decide that this is the intention, and then I have to trust.
Nice.
So, like for example, if I give myself 2 hours for creating things or for creativity, I say my intention is to connect to divine feminine, for example. That's my intention, connect to divine feminine, and then I kind of go into this creative process. Maybe I Google some pictures of divine feminine. Maybe I start making a sketch and it becomes kind of my version of divine feminine. And then I choose the colors I want to use for
Nice.
it. And yeah, so I feel like that's usually the aspect. But it's really interesting. Your question made me think about something because I'm creating, in the process of creating a course on leadership and money right now. And I think I became a little bit disciplined from the place of right and wrong rather than like letting the creativity take the process. And I'm like, so I'm very, very grateful for this question because it makes me aware of the energy I'm holding that is not fully intentional, but more black and white.
And the patterns that we came from. And that's the one thing is they're saying that's where we wanted to go with this, is to show people that you can be in the creative mood and not realize you're starting to bring in some of the old patterns as you're going through it, and to release that. It's just being aware of it. And they're saying that this is so important for people to realize, because as teachers, as people who have been out there and working with people, you kind of get into a groove of what works for you and how to move it. And they're saying going forward, it's going to be a lot more about tapping into you, your intuition, and being willing to change and adjust and change your perspective as you move forward. So they're very happy for this conversation.
Thank you.
So as you've been moving through the joy and understanding and the teaching, have you noticed a big difference in maybe the meaning of like joyfulness in different cultures? Because you came from Russia and you've been around the world. Have you noticed a difference in joy for people, or has that been pretty much an individual thing? Or is there some cultural aspects of joyfulness?
I would say there are some cultural aspects as well, because I feel that some cultures are naturally more joyful and open-hearted and they want to celebrate life. And then some cultures are more solemn and disconnected from each other and less about celebration, more about like doing, or achieving. And it's more mental. It's more mental. So definitely, there are differences, and there are differences within people, but I think the context and the collective also impacts us a lot. I was joking at some time ago. I was joking like the stork dropped me off in the wrong place, that it needed to drop me like in the Caribbean somewhere or Brazil for me to really feel the joy because I feel a big path of my personal journey has been around connecting and reconnecting to joy. But I also, it's harder. I live in Boston and I find that it's harder. It requires a lot of self-discipline and reminders, personal reminders to keep reconnecting with this joy and with intention, but the culture in general is not very joyful.
And that's something very interesting because I do expos all over. I go all over too. And it's interesting when you talk about energy, how you feel the energy of a place, a general energy. And there's always the specifics within it and pockets of different aspects. But the general overall feeling of each city, community, area is all very, very different. And one of the things they're saying is it's really good for you to bring that up because sometimes you may be in an area where you feel you have to work at finding the joy, have to be more diligent in recognizing the joy. And they want to bring up something that you mentioned is like, sometimes I just feel like I need to be in the Caribbean. And they're saying, what a beautiful way to talk about it, because if you're all energy and everybody can be anywhere at any time, when you need those times to feel more joyful, to just sit back and close your eyes for even 10 seconds and then visualize yourself being in the happy Caribbean or whatever is happy for you, can help bring that joy, bring that connection back to who you are. So they're saying thank you for bringing that up because it lets people know they can tap into it at any time, regardless of where they are. That's the joy of being human.
That's beautiful.
And there's it. So the other question is, as you start feeling the joy, you're setting intentionality, and they want me to come back to intentionality, setting the intention of what you want for the day, for yourself, for the year, but not being so regimental on what exactly the specifics of what you'll experience, but a more general intention of where you want to be and how you want to feel. And as you've been working on, they're telling me you've been working with a lot of students, you've been working teaching a lot of people. And they're saying when you're working with people and you're seeing all these different unique qualities of everyone you're working with, they want to ask you when you're feeling all these different people, and they said you're a very big feeler, you feel the energy like crazy. When you're feeling that, are you also, as a divine being, and your intention, if they're saying a lot of your intention is helping people as much as you can, showing them the path as much as you can. When you feel them, are you also tapping into ways to help them specifically? Is there something you have your regular class you're doing, but are you adding in other things to that you feel will be helpful to the class or that teaching in the moment?
So I feel this is what I had to unlearn because I have learned more of a mental way of teaching, but I had to unlearn that because while some of the mental things are important, it's really what I find is that the skill of being in true to the present moment and actually truly connecting to what is in the present moment, I find it to be more beneficial and helpful than sometimes other processes and skills. Because even through, I have a degree now in metaphysics, like master's in metaphysics, so I've learned so many modalities and tools. And what I find is that sometimes I have to throw away everything I know. And then it's just ask my heart, ask my guides. Okay, what is sometimes it's not reacting to what is present and how reconnecting with the pause and reconnecting to this place of non-reactivity. I'm not going to react. I'm going to just trust that what is coming right now is true because lately I've been working with a lot of people in business world and people who are entrepreneurs or leaders, And sometimes I don't even say that I channel, or sometimes I don't even say that I use my intuition, but I'm there and I have to trust, even when I don't know what they're talking about, right? Because they're experts in their field, they're experts in business, they're experts in what they do. But I have to trust that if it's coming up in this present moment, there is a reason for that. And really get out of this reactive state of I'm not good enough. That's the feeling, I'm not good enough. And trust that if it's coming up in the present moment, then there is a reason for how I can help them and exactly the way that I can kind of uplift them, move them forward, find clarity, find a solution to the problem that they experience. And it's been a lot of exercise on trust.
And that, that's something really important because, you talked about right there, it's like, am I good enough to do this? Am I good enough to do this? And I think that's, I too have, sometimes those thoughts, even though I'm feeling, it's like, oh, things are going good, but they'll creep in. But we have to realize a lot of that. And they're just saying a lot of you need to realize that's coming from the programming we've had and not our own belief in ourselves, because when you say that to yourself inside, you're already feeling like, oh, that's not right. But is it right? And you're having this doubt going back and forth. And they're saying this is just part of the programming and not to take it to heart when you feel that coming in. And that's something so important because the people are coming to you for a reason, and they're coming to so many other people that are listening to this. They're coming to you for a reason. There's a reason they're there. There's a reason that the fates, the universe brought you together. They're there to learn something from you. You have something to offer them. And to when you know that, and it is, it's trusting yourself to the core. And I'm going to be honest too, there's some days where it's like, this is great, everything's going good, and other days like, what the heck am I doing? Is anything going to go right today? What is the deal? But to know you're going to have those days because we're human, because we're growing into areas we've never been before. It's going to be uncomfortable. And you're helping so many people move into those areas of uncomfortableness and helping them find a way to be comfortable with it. And that's something so important for so many people, and realize so many people out there doing the same thing, but all different, all in their unique way. You're unique for a reason. And as you've been working with a lot of people and you're continuing to work with people going forward, how do you think joy contributes to positivity, and how can it influence your relationships, both personal and professional? What's the caveat of really stepping into that joy for your life?
I think joy is very closely linked with our purpose or in our mission here. And so, while there are joys that are more, well, they're pleasure based, right? And I love those types of joy as well, like having chocolate croissant or, like sexual experiences and going for a walk. So those are essential, and I think they train us to develop the muscle of joy. But I found that really, really joy, that I really deep joy that I can feel in my body, in my heart, is when I am serving my purpose and serving my mission here. And this is when I feel this joy. It's almost like borderlining this deep satisfaction. And I'm doing the right thing. That's the feeling of it. Like I'm doing the right thing. Because, and I had to go through a period where I just really enjoy things on a very superficial level because I feel like I haven't had this muscle of enjoying life really for many years. And so I had to train myself to like dance and be silly, go outside, roll on the grass, like, go get naked and pour water over myself, dip my toes into the lake and really be in the forest and bathe in the forest. So I think those are really essential, and it's part of the pleasure of having a human body and having a human experience. And on top of it, I think lately it's been a change for me is that simply hanging out is not enough. Simply just, I enjoy those moments when I can rest and restore, and simply hanging out is not enough because I feel like there is this internal drive in me that tells me I need to, before I leave this planet, I have to accomplish a certain things. So, and I feel like the joy is linked to that as well.
And that's very important because so many people you go through, there's a drive. I mean, how many times you hear people say, I feel I'm here for something more. I feel I'm here for something more. I don't quite know what it is, but I'm hearing from them, they love the fact that you have to almost retrain yourself to feel joy, to know what it is, to do all those silly different little things. Because you forget it's been trained out of you. And they're saying for so many of us, it's been trained out of us to really feel joy, to really be joyful. It's you have to fit in the box. And when you're extremely joyful, you don't fit in that box. And people kind of look at you like, oh, what's wrong with her?
How dare she to be happy? She needs to be depressed.
Yeah. And that's very true though, because how many, think about it, the people we had, and they're saying a lot of you had around you were people where when you would feel joyful, they were trying to like squash you. They're like putting your fire out, and to know that you never want to dim your fire. You never want to dim your flame. You want to be bright and beautiful and fun because those people, even though you annoy the heck out of them when you're so joyful. On a little inkling background area, they're like, maybe there's something to that. And they're saying, just like your dad, it took a lot of years watching you and going, yeah, that's kind of crazy. No. And then kind of like, maybe there's something there. So my team is just saying for all of you to know when you're being joyful and someone tries to squash you, just know that they're getting a little dose of it in their own way, and they may step into it later, but you don't have to worry about them now. So, as you've worked with so many people, and you're working with businesses and entrepreneurs and things like that. As you've worked with joy, and how does gratitude go in there? Does it help their productivity in what they're doing? Have they seen a productivity aspect, or is it a relationship aspect with themselves, or is it a combination of both?
So I feel that the gratitude encourages us to be connected to our heart. It's our mind often, not always, but our mind often is in lack. No, I'm not good enough, or what I'm producing is not enough, or there is some kind of lack and not quite meeting our own standards, especially if we come from that kind of conditioning. And I think gratitude invites us to connect to our heart, open our heart. And my job when I work with people is to help them connect to their hearts, even though, it can be very specific problems. And I think connecting to the heart sometimes takes the edge and stress out of the situation, because if you feel so stressed and it just feels like there are constant deadlines and people are not doing the job they're supposed to be doing. And when we connect to our heart, it really brings us into present moment, into right here and right now. And I cannot say that it's always easy, especially in the context of entrepreneurship, because they're very, very driven people. I mean, I'm one of them, but I'm a very driven person. But I had to learn. I felt that it was like, again, one of these things when there is no choice, you have to be grateful when you wake up. You have to be grateful for when you go to sleep. And I started a practice several months ago, and it's been practice that's coming back in different variations and iterations over the years, where before I go to bed, I say 10 things I'm grateful for from today's day. And I noticed that when I do that, my heart opens up, and instead of seeing lack, I start seeing fullness. I start seeing the fullness of my life, and wow, I've made so much progress. Because otherwise, it's like, no, the progress is never enough.
I love that. And I think that's something I'm going to start using. I've got a gratitude journal. I've got a joy journal, but to do it every night like that is, I think, so important because we forget. We're going through life and it's like checking off the list. Oh, I've got that done. I've got that done. I've got that done. But you never go back and go, wow, I accomplished that. I accomplished that. I accomplished that. Because a lot of times we look at it as we're just saying, so many of you are so regimental. It's all about checking off the checklist and not going back and saying, I accomplished that. I should be so proud of myself. So, as you've been working with people and having them realize and being self-aware of their self and tapping into their heart energy, and I think that's a beautiful aspect to have them tap into their heart energy to get out of everything that's going on and tap into them once more. Because that's something I think a lot of people we forget. You just get busy. You get busy with life. I got to do the groceries. I got to do the laundry. I've got to make supper. I've got to get this done. I've got to take my son here. I've got to do this. And you get caught up in that you forget to come back to who you are. And as you've done working with joy and being self-aware, has this helped you? Now that you have a partner and a son, has this helped you in your personal relationships as you've gone forward and appreciating them more?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I was married before, and it was not a successful marriage. Well, I should not call it not successful. It was successful. It was successful, just not maybe the way I imagine it to be successful. So it showed me what I don't want. It showed me how I don't want to be or live or have relationships. So it was successful.
I'm
Now,
hearing them go, good job.
I was successful. Now it's a different version. It's a different version. But I think what I have learned over the years is that when I'm not happy with myself, there begins problems in the relationship. So when I'm unhappy or when I go through something that is really like I'm not satisfied with myself, I'm not, something is bothering me, then it can show up in the relationship as a mirror. And I think what I had to learn over the years is to come back to myself all the time, learn to come back to me, to listen to myself, because I am realizing that more and more, whether it's any kind of relationship, I mean, my partner now, he's a wonderful human, very compassionate. And so we're compatible in our spiritual values and beliefs and practices. He meditates every day, so do I, or I have other practices as well. And I find that when challenges arise, when we can speak from our hearts rather than from our ego, we always find a solution. It's just never happened that we have not found a solution. But I think it took me some time because, you know, during this process of questioning and figuring myself out, I needed to grow enough and become mature enough to find a place of stability within myself so that I'm not changing every single day. Because if I were to be, I am changing every single day, but it's not on big things, you know, like I'm not one day I'm lesbian, another day I am heterosexual. So I am more stable on big things, but I'm changing in smaller things. And I think I needed to kind of move through that process of change and not rush myself in retrospect. I know that now, you know, that I had to move and give myself time to grow, to find a place of stability so that I can have a stable relationship. And I think the same goes true for my professional aspirations, is that when I was changing so much, or I should do this, I should do this, I should do this, I should do this. Now that I have all the freedom and I can choose whatever I want to for myself, So I feel that it also just shows up in me being more stable internally. And then when there is this internal stability, I think my clients feel more stability from me. My child feels more stability. So it's a lot of inner work.
And you know that's very true though, but for people to understand, the more you work on yourself and create that balance, that stability in your life, you're like you said, we're all changing. We're changing every day, but you're not doing the big things, you know, and there's going to be big things, but the main core big things, that's growing and expanding every day. And they're just saying, so what they're telling me now is the more we concentrate on ourselves, the more we look at ourselves and keep that as not stable, but as a present to ourselves to know who we are. And we just keep unwrapping more of who we are, our core of who we are, and continuing to grow the core of who we are. That's something that creates that stability, the balance, and the calm of growing that stability of the core of who we are. And that's something that you have done immensely and have done so much work that will benefit. And it sounds like your partner also benefits both of you. And I'm sure they're saying both of you have done a lot of work, but it's not just one or the other. Both of you have done a lot of work. But what a gift to your son to show him what's possible and to bring that stability. And to, they're saying, so they're just saying to me right now that you have changed so many of the generational aspects of your life where you came from. You yourself changed it in you. And because of that, you're changing your sons in ways that would never have been possible if it went to, they're saying, they want you to kind of laugh about it, to think that that crazy part of me is creating so much stability for him. And to
Different
envision
perspective.
an absolute different perspective and to have fun with it and to just enjoy that. What a cool experience to look back on, you know, looking at all the different aspects of who could I be? It's like opening up a whole new box. Who can I be? How do I want to color myself? How do I want to make who I am? And that self-awareness, I think, is so huge for people to take that time to question everything, to step into that self-awareness. As you became more and more self-aware of yourself and who you were and creating that stability, has there because you went through a time where, and you probably still are, I still am too, of just making myself experience the silly joy, just to remind myself to find new ways to connect to it. What are some of the things you can offer to people to experience some ideas of experiencing joy? What are things you maybe recommend to people to help them start experience joy?
One is travel. I
Nice. I love to travel.
think, I mean, we actually tomorrow we're going to China first, where we'll be spending 2 weeks in China for the Chinese New Year. And then we're going to Costa Rica. And I think I had to go through a lot of questioning of how can I do it while having a child? And then deciding that, you know what? Like this travel is a part of education, it's a part of family, having fun and kind of not being burdened by day-to-day activities. So I would say travel, and travel doesn't have to be very complicated, like just simplifying things. Simplifying, because I feel that sometimes we want to make the travel perfect or experiences for our kids perfect. And I find that joy comes from sometimes just simplifying our life. And instead of doing 10 things in a day, throwing the to-do list and saying, okay, let's go hiking in the woods and forget about the to-do list that we have to do.
I I think that's so important for people to hear, though, because we put a lot of pressure on ourselves, especially with vacations. Especially with vacations, because it's like, I've got time off. We need to accomplish this. We need to do that. And I just want to commend you, because that's something that we did when our children were young, too, is like, okay, how is this going to work when you have children in the mix? It's a little more difficult to try, not difficult. It's a little more challenging of finding ways to make it work without it being so stressful. So it's doing that. And I've got to say, I am for all of us to give that experience to our children. Don't worry about it might not be perfect. And when you go to an amazing place, they might find that the water fountain over here is the best thing in the whole place. And you're like, but what about this? And to embrace that and to just have it be part of it, I think is so key for people to let go of the stress that they're gonna just keep hearing, the stress of relaxation.
The
Because
stress of relaxation. Oh my God, I'm so stressed. I have to relax.
and to just enjoy it and to see the world experience so much more. And for some that can't necessarily do it physically, because I'm just hearing they're telling me that there's people that can't physically do that anymore, but to experience it and they're saying you have so much on your TVs and on YouTube and to watch what's there and just feel yourself be in it and experience it as you're going. Because we're all energy, we can feel the areas energetically that we're watching too. So I love the fact that you guys are both going off tomorrow. That's going to be so exciting and so fun and so heartfelt to spend the time together. I think that's so important. People, we get so everything around us, we forget to take in us. And I think it's so important for people to realize you can take your children and go experience all these different things. It's just going to be different than maybe what you planned. But they're saying your intention of how you want to do it, to have this experience for all of you and letting go of what you originally maybe wanted to do and making the day more free flowing, your intention is so key. And they're saying for so many to look at the intention when you're doing something that may feel stressful to go to relax, to change your intention on it. And that they're just so, I'm just hearing from them, they're so impressed with you and what you're offering people and how your energy comes across to people is very calm and centered and very. They're saying regimental when it needs to, because there are some people you work with that need regimental.
Thank you.
So this has been so much fun. And I know for you offer a lot of different aspects for people. You have your books on your website. You have that. I like your candy for your soul. I love that. Because it's that to me, you got to have fun. You Candy is fun. You can't not have fun with candy.
Exactly.
Is there anything you'd like to add in with this, or anything that you have coming up that you'd like people to know about?
I'm putting together now a program that is on leadership and money. I have been called lately to do a program. I think it's for new leaders, so I don't think it's only for people who are in position or in a specific social status, even though they might be interested in that as well. But I find that more and more leadership comes now from as deciding to lead in a specific way, in a specific niche, in a specific area. And so that program will be starting in March. I know this will probably air a little bit later, but I envision in the coming year I will have programs on leadership and money and soul inspired leadership. And so if anyone is interested and called to do that or to call to just work with me one on one, they can reach out and I'd be happy to have a conversation. And I appreciate the opportunity to share about this as well.
Absolutely. And that's something they're just bringing me back a little bit because you have the book called My Brilliant Money Book and From Russia to Joy. And the money and the joy, a lot of us kind of put it a little bit separate. Like you have to have joy over here and money you have to work at. And to bring both of those together, what brought you to bring the Brilliant Money Book? And they're saying they love the name of it because it makes money feel magical and fun, not like hard work.
I think the book itself came from the struggle, personal struggle. I felt that I was always sacrificing myself for money and doing things that were not joyful or doing things that I didn't feel that I wanted to do. And a lot of the conditioning that I have received, at least around money, and I know there are some people who probably share that conditioning, is that money is dirty, money is bad, money is evil. Money is shameful, and so any desire around money was kind of pushed away. In the same way that sex is not part of mainstream conversation, money is also not part of mainstream conversation. But I find that this stance is quite disempowering, and it creates a lot of imbalance in the modern world and disparities in income because of this disempowered mindset of what money is. It's like it's only for the few people, but not for the majority. And so I find that the more we let go of that conditioning and the mindset, the more we're able to like realize that our gifts, they can be reciprocated with money because money is energy. And so if we have passion for knitting or passion for doing a radio show, passion for mediumship, passion for coaching. So I think the mindset is to actually welcome money for that, to allow money for that, because I know that many people, they would say, well, if I love doing something, it has to be done for free. And it's not sustainable that way.
No, it's a good idea. They're saying, where most of that idea came from is from the people who wanted it for free, from the ones who didn't want to pay for it, the ones who wanted
Yes.
to take it from others and not have to pay for it. So not had and they're saying sometimes it might be an energy exchange of some sort you're doing with somebody where you're doing a trade or you're doing something, but they're willing to do the trade back, not just wanting to take it from you and not give anything back. So to know that they're saying they're so happy that so many people are changing their perspective on money because it's been treated as dirty for a very long time. And even the idea of wanting money has been treated as, well, if you have that, how can you want more than someone else? And aren't you going to take it from someone else by doing that? And there is no, you're never taking from anyone when you're having a money exchange. Money is always going to grow. Money is always going to be there. And something's going to be there for an exchange, no matter what it is, whether it's physical money or an exchange of energy. But something is always going to be there. And they're saying, where do you see your energy when you talk about energy? Everybody creates their energy every day. There's an unlimited amount, just like money, for everyone.
Beautiful.
So they are very happy that we talked a little bit about the money aspect because that's something that definitely needs to be put into the joy category. Every time you make money, oh, this is so fun. Oh, look, I can go on another trip. I can see the world. I can experience this. I can share that with your son, with or with people out there. I can share that experience by the people I meet. And that's something a lot of us don't give ourselves credit for. The people you meet along the way benefit from your energy, from you being able to travel and meet them that you never would have been able to. So it's, I'm encouraging people because they're telling me there's a lot of really good information in your My Brilliant Money book and From Russia to Joy. So much great information in there. So I'm encouraging people if you can't set up a personal one, go to at least go check out her books, get her books out there. Sign up for your newsletter because there's a lot of great information in there. And I can't wait for people to get to know you more. I'm glad we were able for people to get to know you more today. I'm joyful about that.
Thank you so much. Thank you to you
Well,
and to your guides.
oh, they are very happy to be here. They're always excited, like, ooh, they get to play.
Exactly.
So thank you so much, Maria. I am so happy to have you here. And I just want to encourage people to make sure to go check out your website. It's Maria Mishko. Did I say that right? Shriko.
Shriko, yes,
Shriko.
Shriko.
MariaShiko.love. And again, those links will be all down below. And make sure she has you have coaching, group sessions, you have coachings, you can do one-on-one courses, books, and so much more. So make sure to check that out. And you're also on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, Amazon. So there's so much out there. Make sure to check all of your information out. I hope you have an absolutely amazing trip you have coming up. That's gonna sound so
Thank you.
exciting.
Thank you so much.
So, thank you, Maria, so much for your time, sharing your knowledge. And I want to encourage everyone to make sure to watch the next episode of Edge Talk Radio. They're on the first and third Tuesdays of the month at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. And if you've missed any of the episodes, no worries. You can catch the downloadable podcast or watch the interview on my YouTube channel, Angela Zabel, Teacher Coach Medium. And thank you all for listening, expanding and amplifying our universe together. Have an absolutely amazing day.